Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Quentin Cerace, Josh Knutson, Allie Mazey, Fred Bartelt, Rusty Sullivan, Susan Sosha, Patty Sue Burton-Pye, Christine Stockson. Some of those names are more familiar to you than others, but all of those people have been seminarians here at Pisgah. During their seminary education, as they were training to be pastors or deacons in ministry, they came here to learn, to grow. Now, some of them would stand up here and be as experienced as Billy Graham in front of the stadium, and others more like a first grader who's just learning to read. But in all, they went through the process and learned thanks to you. Thanks to your grace and your lovingness to let them use this place as a lab. But unfortunately, in all probability, we have seen the last seminarian to come through here. Because this past week it was announced that Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia is moving its campus to Hickory, North Carolina. I know. This is my alma mater. Actually, both of them are. I graduated from Southern, which is what we call LTSS, in 2000. Many of the names that I just said actually were my classmates. And it was my first home where Stacy and I had our apartment. It was an awful apartment, but still, it was ours. It was where I worshiped, where I prayed, where I went through some of the most difficult things of my life and the most rewarding things of my life. I sat in that chapel with the beautiful descending dove stained glass window, looking at the cross that was intricately made, and just dreaming of one day doing exactly what I'm doing now. It was the same place where my father was educated, and it was his and my mother's first home as well. This place is sacred to me and to many others. In fact, we have four sons of this congregation who all went to Southern Seminary, and now we have a daughter of this congregation who in the near future will be ordained yet at Rome. We have intimate connections with that place in Columbia because of how close we are. And the idea of it picking up and moving is, well, for me, it's just heartbreaking. Because that window, what's going to happen to it? The majestic library with all those books that I never read, something's going to have to happen with those. That wonderful cross, the Luther statue, those places where I called home for 3 years of my four-year seminary education. My Facebook feed has been lit up with all of the comments being raised from my many classmates and my colleagues who all went there. It's very difficult for all of us. I mean, why would they do it? Well, to tell you a little backstory, in 2010, I don't know if you were aware, but there was a bit of a stock market crash. And during that time, the seminary was building some apartments that all the seminaries who have come here have complained about, but trust me, it's the Taj Mahal compared to what I lived in when I was there. But at any rate, when the market crashed, all those who had pledged to give to build these apartments pulled their pledge, leaving basically the seminary with a huge debt that they were unable to pay. And so Lenoir University stepped in and merged with the seminary, which is pretty before they took it over. Without Lenoir's help, there would be no seminary. Well, Lenoir is located in Hickory, North Carolina. And the fact that the student body, the total student body now, is about the size of my graduating class, and the fact that they will save the university $2 million a year to move, there's really no choice. It's the only thing that makes good sense stewardship-wise. And we all know that. And most of the Facebook feeds, the Facebook posts that I've read have said as much. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. I mean, it hurts some of you, and you may have never even set foot on the campus. And why does it hurt? Because it's change. And change almost always hurts, doesn't it? I mean, even good change hurts sometimes. I mean, any of you who are parents, do you remember when you brought that kid home for the first time? Oh, what a, I mean, it was wonderful, right? I mean, this is what you've been dreaming of and hoping for. And then that child cried a lot. And I don't know about you, but, I mean, the arguments that go on in the house go up a lot during times like that. I mean, you aren't sleeping, but more than anything, stuff is different. It's not like it's always been. I always say that when people move, that they, you know, they give you a list of all of the utilities, the numbers for utilities. They should probably also include a good divorce lawyer's number in there, because you're going to fight more with your spouse during that time than you ever will. Because why? Because it's change. And change is hard. Whether it's our job, whether it's our families, whether it's our health, whether it's the way things look outside, whether it's the church, change is always hard. Maybe sometimes especially the church. Because our faith stuff, the stuff that's supposed to be rock solid, the stuff that's supposed to always be there, just like it's always been, when it starts getting shaken, we start struggling. And maybe that's why I'm struggling right now, because Southern Seminary has been a huge part of not just my life, but my faith life. And now it's being moved. And the reason I bring this up is because I believe that that's what the struggle was in this morning's gospel reading. And that's what the struggle was that people had with Jesus throughout the gospels. You see, what we heard about was Jesus coming into the temple. And he sees the money changers and all these animals that were being sold for sacrifice. And he makes a cord of whips and just drives them all out. And he flips over the tables with the money changers with the money on it and says, "Stop making this in my Father's house into a marketplace." And so for years, you know what we've always thought? Well, you know what that means? We shouldn't sell anything at church. Right after we heard an announcement about the fact that we're doing a fundraiser for, you know, rubbing butts and scrubbing chickens, right? But that's not really what this is about. Because just if you look at the Old Testament, they were doing exactly what the Old Testament told them to do. You know, there was a certain sort of trade-off. If this sin required a sacrifice of this animal, and this animal. So like, you know, if you, you know, said something mean to your parents, well, that's a dove. And, you know, and if you killed your parents, well, that's a cow. I mean, you know, it's there's a whole exchange of these sacrifices, right? And the money changers were there because they weren't allowed to use a graven image in the temple, i.e. a coin with Caesar's face on it. And so what they would come in with the regular money of the day, and they would change the Roman money for temple money. Again, because they were following the law. So why was Jesus so mad? They were just doing what they were supposed to do, right? See, I don't think that Jesus was upset because of the whole marketplace thing. I think what he was upset with is that their whole focus was on buying and selling and sacrificing this and doing this the right way. And they were more consumed with the temple than they were the reason that they were at the temple. They were more consumed with the way how pretty things were and what went where and the way things had always been than they were with the God who called them to be there. Their focus was more on the traditions of the time than on the creator of time. You see, Jesus wasn't kicking out the changers. He was trying to drive out the samers, the ones that wanted everything to stay the same, the way they've always been. And if you notice, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this same story is told, but it's at the end. It's right before Jesus has his last supper with his disciples. If you look at the beginning of this one, where it says the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The focus in John's Gospel is completely different. This happens at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he's basically announcing this: I am here to overturn some tables. I am here to bring about change. Change is coming, folks. I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. Get ready. And so we begin to see from the very beginning what drives Jesus to the cross. The things that the folks struggled with more than anything throughout Scripture was the fact that God was doing something new through Jesus, and that meant change, and we don't like change. As we sit here as Lutherans, we really, really don't like change. You know, there's a website out there that has the jokes of, you know, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? And they deal with all the denominations, and this is the Lutheran one. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? What's change? We really don't like change. Had a seminary professor that said that the closer something is to a person's identity, the more they struggle when it changes. What is closer to our identity than our faith? And because of that, when anything changes, we really struggle. Any of you remember what it was like when the hymnals changed? Oh, good gracious, that's why it's only happened twice in the almost 50 years I've been alive. We don't like it. I mean, we might soon be talking about changing carpet in here. Oh, get ready. I just went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? Everybody just got uncomfortable. And then we're going to paint the brick. No, I'm just kidding. Better not. I mean, during COVID, we put these cameras in here because there was no one here to complain. We put these pink TVs in here because there was no one here to complain but the four of us. But the reality is, we struggle with stuff like that because it's so close to who we are. You know, I mean, this congregation in 1980, they know the absolute pain of when something changes like that, when lightning struck and they lost the entire parish building. They know that those things that we consider precious, that we can consider holy, can just go up in flames just like that. And what Jesus is saying is when that's the case, our focus is on the wrong thing. Because destroy this temple and I can rebuild it in 3 days. And he was talking about himself. Because the reality is our trust is not in the stuff that changes. Our reality, our faith is in the God that creates them. I mean, look, yes, I am brokenhearted that the seminary is moving. But the reality is it's necessary. Because there's hope in that. For one, Lenoron could have easily closed down the seminary. A $2 million a year deficit, that's a lot of cash for 2% of the student body. That doesn't even make sense. But they're moving it to Hickory, and you know what that means? If a pastor wants to take Spanish so that they can minister to a Spanish-speaking congregation, now they can. They'll actually have on-campus health care, which is something we never had. If they want to learn leadership, if they want to learn more about music, there's a whole college campus that will now be a part of the seminary community. It will be part of the seminary education. There's hope in that. There's hope in that change. Jesus was coming to that temple to bring hope, to bring something new. But that doesn't mean that it's easy. Because the truth is, we have two options when it comes to change. We can either fight it or we can faith it. We can kick and scream and cry and protest and do all these things about change. Or we can put our faith in God, knowing that God will see it through. We can fight it or we can faith it. And if we're going to faith it, it means we have to stop and listen. We have to open our hearts. We can open our minds. Because we're so busy saying why it shouldn't happen that we fail to listen to why it should. We have to pray. Giving God the strength, because it's not easy, and it's hard to listen. But as we open ourselves up, maybe we see and hear God's voice in all of this. Maybe we realize the presence of the Almighty. My friends, change is going to happen in this church, in your homes, in your jobs, and in your lives. You can fight it, or you can faith it. Which is it going to be? Amen.